Welcome to the Hey Boomer podcast, where each week we are inspired by the stories shared with us by my guests. We all want to feel relevant. We all want to feel like what we do matters. And my hope is that the Hey Boomer show gives you examples of how that is possible, no matter how old you are. On today's show, we talk with Joyce Cohen and Vicky Thomas of My Future Purpose about what it means to have a purpose. We explore ideas about doing what you like and loving what you do. We talk about getting over the fear that's getting in your way and move beyond having any regrets. You don't want to look back on your life and say, oh, if I only. Reach out, connect now, reach out to your network, follow a dream, ask for help. All of these topics and more are the things that we discuss on the broadcast today. My name is Wendy Green, and I am your host of Hey Boomer. Hello, Hey Boomer listeners. I hope everybody is well today. There is weather up and down the coast, but here in South Carolina, it finally cleared for us, so I am seeing a little sunlight out of the window, which is lovely. I wanted to let you know about a very special gift that is being offered by my friend and family caregiver coach, Kay Coughlin. With the colder and shorter days of winter setting in, Kay knows how this can be a particularly difficult time for caregivers. So she has created a special series of encouraging emails for the month of January, and she wants to offer this to members of the Hey Boomer community. So you can simply go to her website, which is facilitatoronfire.net. Look for the button on the top of the page and sign up for these emails. It's absolutely free, no cost. Just kind of think of it as a warm hug, a daily hug, as we're going through these cold days of winter and you are giving so much of yourself. So why not make this a gift for yourself? Doesn't that sound nice? Last week, I had the honor of being on a show called Pause for Purpose. It's a weekly show hosted by my guests, Joyce Cohen and Vicky Thomas, from their site, My Future Purpose. It was an opportunity to speak about my journey and to recognize how my purpose has changed over the years, from being mom, to building a couple of businesses, to service above self in Rotary, and to encouraging members of the Hey Boomer community to feel their relevance and their meaning in life. Part of what we know about purpose is that it is having an intention to achieve a goal that is both personally meaningful and makes a positive impact on the world. It can be big, like, you know, finding a cure for a disease, starting a business or organization. It can also be something smaller, like teaching a child to read, teaching an adult to read in a literacy program, volunteering your time in some way that is meaningful and fulfilling to you. And our sense of purpose does change over our lifetime. As we try to figure out our identity as teens, as young adults, and then as we shift into retirement, our purpose tends to shift over time with us. And like happiness, purpose is not a destination, it's a journey. And we're going to talk to Vicky and Joyce about the journey of purpose and how to discover it and work with it and help it grow. I wanted to just tell you briefly, I'm wearing something special today. You might not be able to see it, but I got a gift from a friend, and this says, do what you love. And then these little beaded bracelets that my sister made that have
soul word whispers on them, she calls it. So mine, these two that I'm wearing today, are about confidence and love. And I just thought that was very appropriate for our conversation about purpose today. And what are you waiting for? It is time to sign up for the New Year's Eve celebration, our virtual celebration. It's from 8 to 9:30 on New Year's Eve. We are going to do a wine tasting. We are going to have a tasting menu that goes along with that. We're going to talk about our word for next year. We're going to have fun and make noise and dress up. I'm going to wear bling. So hopefully you all will sign up for that. You can email me, wendy@heyboomer.biz, so that I can send you the link to sign up. The deadline is December 21st, so you don't want to miss it. It's going to be a lot of fun. And if you're unable to listen to a show live, we are now on most of the major podcast channels. You can find Hey Boomer on Spotify, on Google Podcasts, on Apple Podcasts, on, like I said, most of the major podcast channels. So if you know people that you think would benefit from our discussion today, they can either watch the recording on Facebook or YouTube, or they can find us on their podcast channels. I am looking for your comments and questions today as we go through this. And I am going to bring on my guests. This is the first time we've had two additional guests on the show. All right. So let me do a brief introduction of Vicki and Joyce, and then I'm going to let them fill in any of the gaps that I left out. So Vicki Thomas worked with ABC Television Networks in New York City, developing information about TV show performance. She was also a marketing executive with the leading National Trade Association and National Credit Unions, four National Credit Unions. Vicki produced, this one's fun, Vicki produced, packaged, financed, and marketed the Dancing Grannies exercise videos, and she promoted this unknown group to national critical acclaim. So I don't know if any of you ever saw the Dancing Grannies, but that's fun. And then Vicki won a $100,000 purpose prize in 2013 from Encore.org. And she helped Purple Heart Homes, which was based in Statesville, North Carolina, and Homes for Our Troops, which was based in Taunton, Mass., raise money and grow their nonprofits by getting stories about veterans they were helping placed in national and local news outlets, which was awesome, Vicki. Good for you. And Joyce Cohen, she has been focused on career development and midlife transition. Her expertise encompasses delivering what's next, mentoring, outplacement, military to civilian transition, generational issues in the workplace, networking, entrepreneurship, and updated credential services. She is an experienced consultant, facilitator, life coach, speaker, outplacement counselor, entrepreneur, writer, educator, and trainer of trainers. Besides co-founding My Future Purpose with Vicki, she has been national president for the Life Planning Network for 5 years. She designed a veteran mentor program for Purple Heart Homes. She's delivered hundreds of workshops at over 360 corporations on 5 continents. She had an active consulting firm for decades, and she started as a high school guidance counselor. Vicki wrote that she has no desire to ever fully retire or sail off into the sunset. So I'm going to start my first question off with you, Joyce. And how do you feel about that? Are you going to retire and sail off into the sunset?
I have no, first of all, thank you and welcome everyone. This is fun for us to be here. I have no desire to retire. As a matter of fact, it's the word that needs to be retired. It is about figuring out what's next. So I'm living my dream right now. I'm doing the things I enjoy doing. I don't do the things now that I don't like to do. And so right now I'm just loving life and enjoying it. And I make time to do all of those things that most people save for retirement. So when it's time to go for a walk or play or get together with friends or take an hour out and be on the phone or take a weekend off or take a week off, I just do it. So no, I have no desire to change things. And as we always say, because you know, this whole thing is about purpose and change, as things happen, we just change with it. So no, I'm living the life I want to live right now and enjoying every minute of it.
That is absolutely beautiful. I love that. Thank you.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter how old you are. You know, age is just a speed limit on the highway.
I love that. So you've both had very long, successful careers. And I am just curious, have you always been motivated by your purpose? Have you always known what your purpose is?
I would say I grew up on a dairy farm in northern Wisconsin, which my father called where Christ lost his overshoes because you lived with nature all the time. And when you're on a farm, you become very close to nature. You become very close to the animals you care for. And as my father always told me, whatever you do in life, you have to be outstanding in your field. And I feel that living on a farm taught me my purpose in terms of, I guess, connecting not only with your heart and your head. I belong to 4-H. The 4-H pledge was, I mean, you'd say it at every meeting, and it was, I pledge my head to clearer thinking, my heart to greater loyalty, my hands to better service, and my health for better service for my club, my community, and my country. That was always instilled in my head. My career that really kind of started me, I worked for a financial trade association, Credit Union National Association. And it's a lot different than a bank because it's member owned. It provides low cost loans and savings to people who might be rejected by a bank. And every day when I got into work, I'd walk by this bust, and it was of one of the founders of the credit union movement. And on the bust was inscribed, "Keep purpose constant here." So I would say that I have always been purpose driven, and it's been, you do what you like, you love what you do, and you feel good about it. And to me, that's what purpose is about.
And I would add to that a little different context. When I first started out, I was directing a Girl Scout camp up in Massachusetts. And I had a big medical incident happen where I had no feeling from the neck down. And it was very frightening at the time. Took 5 years to get that diagnosed and find out that it was multiple sclerosis that they found out later. But what it did as a recently minted college graduate, it gave me a sense of urgency because I wanted to, quote, get to do my first job. And that get to as compared to have to is something that's followed me my entire life. So I've always lived with this sense of urgency and that whatever I do, you better like it, you better enjoy it, and you better do it with your whole being because you never know. So that old saying, carpe diem, was something when I heard it, I thought, that's got to be my mantra. That's got to be how I live my life because I didn't know the words then about living on purpose. And yet when I look back, I realized that it is how I've led my life. There was also a quote that I saw early on by a woman who wrote children's book. Her name was Polly Behrens. And she said, everything in your life is your teacher. Everything that happens to you is your teacher. And the secret is to sit at the foot of your own life and be taught by it. I didn't know what that meant at the time, but as the years went by and things would happen, you realize, sit at the foot of your own life, look at the things that have happened, what were the lessons learned, grow from it, and move forward with it.
I'd like to add something to that as well, as Joyce was talking her about her health channel. This white hair you hear, you see, would not be white had I not had cancer, two cancers. One was, it's a very rare cancer. It has a 5-year survival rate. 1 in 6 million women get it, and it's called MMMT. And this is the one that's very scary because that bubbles over my head all the time. And it's called a sarcoma, where little floaty cells that you cannot see love soft tissue. So they find soft tissue on your body. My other cancer that I had recently was this last year, I went through breast cancer. And it is amazing what you're taught, what cancer does to, you're on a time, your own life is before you in terms of your purpose, your legacy. What do you want to leave alone? Tick tock, the clock is ticking. It's ticking for all of us. It might be ticking a little faster for me. And I feel that by having cancer two times, I have, there's a settling that I have. There's a comfort that I had that I never had before. I always had, of course, Joyce knows this still exists. When patience was handed out, I did not get that. But I think cancer has also taught me some lessons about life. And I think every cancer survivor like me can probably keep the same way. And so this hair, when I was having chemo and it fell out and I was coloring my hair, I decided I'm not doing that anymore. So there's certain freedoms that you get also that I got. And it's nice to now know that I can have this white hair. I accept it. Took me a while when I'd get up in the morning and the mirror's right there and you look at, ooh, is that old lady that's facing me in the mirror this morning? And then I go, it is I. And I'm proud of who I am, what I've done, and what we're doing, what Joyce and I are doing together as we pursue this desire to help others find their purpose and discover it. And so our purpose becomes our desire to inspire others.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. Both of you, very courageous stories. And there's a theme, I think, that I'm hearing. One is that you both have done things that you felt you loved doing them. And so that helped you with your purpose. And then the sense of urgency that has come from the experience with MS or the experience with cancer. And I want to kind of go beyond that because a lot of people don't have those feelings of urgency because they haven't experienced those life-threatening situations. And so how do they then go about finding that urgency, or is that necessary to finding your purpose?
I think when you're told you have cancer, it's like the TV commercial it's everything the TV commercial has. It is shocking. It is so shocking because the big C is just shocking in itself simply because of what it's doing inside that you're not even aware that's going on. So this sense of urgent, I even went to cancer survivor meetings and I had a hard time because I'd see people who were before me that I might not see next week. But what it taught me is to get over the fear. Get over the fear and be able to move on with what you have left to do and what you're meant to do. And what we're doing now, I definitely feel I'm meant to do. And as I said, once you get over the fear, there's an anchoring. I can't describe the anchoring that I experience, but it's there. I'm settled. I have accepted what would likely be my destiny, but I'm not done yet. And I'm going to go on as positively and as dynamically as I can on this journey.
And what you said, Wendy, just about if people haven't found or haven't haven't had that sense of urgency or haven't found whatever their quote purpose is, think of it in terms of purpose moments. There are those times, be it you're standing in line at a grocery store or somebody says something in a parking lot or a child is crying and someone, all these moments that come up that you have an opportunity to do something. I'm just giving a quick example. Our mail carrier happened to deliver a package one day and we got talking and he mentioned that his brother was in the hospital with COVID. And so just baking the guy brownies and leaving him a note that week in my mailbox, just it meant the world to him. And then mentioning it to neighbors and seeing what they're doing. They're just those random acts of kindness. And I'm thinking of Vicky. Recently, Vicky, share what you did with your neighbors at the end of your street and just giving that opportunity.
We I live in Fairfield County, Connecticut, and COVID has shut down New York City, as we know. People got tired of pushing the button in their apartment and maybe taking their dogs for a walk, living confined in apartments. So they bailed out. We have 17,000 new address listings in the state of Connecticut of people who have left New York City. We had about 5 houses on our street for sale. And seems like every one of them have a New York license plate. And so I put a flyer and I went down our street. We have 28 houses on our street and I put a flyer in everybody's mailbox. We live on top of the hill in a cul-de-sac. And I said, let's gather, let's meet, let's talk. Let's help one another when we see something that might be unusual and let's just be good neighbors. And so I said, bring your kids, your dog and just gather in the cul-de-sac. And that's what we did. It was a really neat thing. And now we wave at our neighbors who are new, or my husband, who's very handy, has now gotten into helping people, especially setting up generators and doing those kinds of things that most homeowners want out here. So, and it feels good. It feels good that I know my neighbors and I did something to bring them together.
And it also has to feel good to them because that's a purpose moment that we all have. But often we say, I'm too shy. Yeah, I don't know them. I don't know how to do that. And it doesn't matter. It's just about knowing that this is the right thing to do. And it's something that I want to get to know those folks. I want to welcome them to the neighborhood. And what better way than just say, meet out front and bring your kids and dogs and let's just get together. And that anybody can do. And the more purpose moments we have, you never know the ripple effect that they have and what evolves. But that they go and get on a Zoom call with their family and say, you'll never guess the neighborhood I just moved into. And it's all because of that powerhouse on the top of the hill.
Yeah, I love that idea of purpose moments. There was a man in the post office the other day, huge long line at the post office. He's there in overalls, looking like he just came in out of the fields, you know, big guy. And as people are coming in with packages that are already addressed and stamped or whatever, they don't want to go all the way to the back of the line. And he's noticing that and he starts telling them, you can go in and just, there's a counter where you can drop it off. And I said to him, that's so nice of you to be watching for those people. And he said, we all have to help each other.
Messages.
That was his purpose moment. So tell me, ladies, how you both met and what inspired you to start this My Future Purpose project. And while you do that, I am going to share your website as well.
Okay. Yeah. Let me start with that, Vicky, and then you chime in. I was actually speaking at a conference out in San Francisco. I'm going back 35 years ago. And Vicki and I have a mutual friend. And at the end of it, she said, I'm going down to Santa Monica, which was her home. And I had to be in Los Angeles shortly after that. So she said, please come by the apartment. I want you to come visit. I said, sure, I can do that for a short time. I get there and we're finishing the visit. And I said, I really got to get to the airport. And she said, you have to stay 5 more minutes. My dear friend is coming. Turns out the dear friend was Vicki. I had to catch the flight, left, we never met. 30 some years go by and we are in Maine at another meeting. It so happens the mutual friend is there as well. And she said, wait a minute, you were the people I tried to put together decades ago. And that's when we met and the rest is history. turns out we live a half hour apart from each other in Connecticut, just never knew it.
Yes, and it's been for me, as I've gotten to know Joyce, we room together. As when you introduced me, you talked about my winning the Purpose Prize, which was a $100,000 prize that I got for help. I made a cold call. I saw a clip on CNN about a veteran who had a cadence in his voice like Matthew McConaughey. And I thought, wow, he sounds really neat. So I turned the television and I saw as the camera panned up that he was a double amputee. And that, of course, is when Iraq and Afghanistan were the front page news as opposed to the front page news we're currently seeing that we can't wait to get off the front page news. But as the camera panned up, I saw he's a double amputee. And he said, hey, I'm Staff Sergeant Dale Beatty. I'm here with my band to play. As a double amputee, I thought, oh, I want to watch how do you play the drums when you're a double amputee. And then he said, me and my battle buddy started an organization called Purple Heart Homes. We help older veterans with housing solutions, ramps, railings, so they can get around their home because they were there to welcome us home when we got home. And I thought, wow, I want to get involved. So I cold called him, picked up the phone, told them who I was and what I would do for them. And took them 2 weeks to call me back. And the first question they asked me was, so what makes you so special? So I said, I thought, I told them who I was and that I helped put people on the map. And so they said, well, before we do that, you have to come and see us. I said, well, you've now asked me to spend money before I'm willing to do that. And before I do that, I want to know if you're willing to leave Statesville, North Carolina to become a bigger organization before I spend my money. And they did. And we met. And we spent really almost 10 wonderful years together. And that was very purposeful to me to know that, you know, I got him on the cover of Time magazine. And last name escapes me right now.
Klein.
Joe Klein did a cover story featuring five guys and or four guys and one young lady that served in Iraq. And the title of the cover page is The New Greatest Generation, and how these young people who served in Iraq and volunteered, raised their hand, are doing great things and continuing to serve in their community, obviously purpose. And so I helped them. We did a project in Connecticut. I had an article that appeared about them in New York Times. We had several national clips that appeared on television. So that organization at a time catapulted over the top of other nonprofits that were just getting started. And it was really a great moment in my life to be able to know I made a difference not only in that organization, but I made a difference in those two guys. And then I made a difference when I was able to bring all the communities together by simply asking and saying, we're going to help an older veteran in your community. We need to raise X amount of money, and to see how that community came together simply by asking, because they were very proud of America. They were very proud of the guys that volunteered to serve. And most of them really were Vietnam veterans who were not welcomed home. So it was a great journey.
I'm just going to add a PS to that too. The $100,000 that Vicki won in that, or was the recipient of, went right back to Purple Heart Homes for the veteran projects, because I had the privilege of working with her on one of the Connecticut projects. And just to see the difference it made, how community came together. And now I could think of other projects, and that could be an hour in itself. One we did in Florida where we were redoing a veteran home. And it turned out, Vicki said, you know, education, see how kids could get involved in this. And before that was over, we had took the street in front of the guy's house, and they had a little dance team, and they brought the dance team, and we contacted Subway and had lunch served. And it just draws community together. And then we were trying to find roofing companies, and turns out we contacted a roofing company. This happened to be in Pensacola, Florida, who said, "My son is a veteran. I like what you're doing. We will donate the roof." Or the labor for the roof. So it's only material. So it's just things, just how you put it out there and the world opens up. And things are not without, they all have their issues. And so we could always talk to the downside of it. But the point is, there are so many positive things that come out where children, and so happened on that, it was Pearl Harbor Day. And a lot of the children didn't know about Pearl Harbor. And so we got to mix the holidays in Pearl Harbor and honoring a veteran. And then Vicki went and bought a tree when she got down there because I couldn't get one donated. And so the kids decorated, they made in their art classes, they made decorations for the tree and took it. And to this day, he and his daughter still contact us and just say how special that whole event was to them.
So you guys have had so many amazing, meaningful experiences. I just got a comment here that Purple Heart Homes just helped her friend get a tiny home through Purple Heart Homes. So,
South Carolina. Yes.
Yeah. But with all that you've done, so why My Future Purpose? Why not stay working with the veterans or stay in a particular lane?
Every one of them. I mean, we could be going so many different directions to this, but in my travels and doing the workshops, and my field is career development. So I was doing career workshops. I would hear over and over again, people say privately at a break, "There's no joy coming here anymore. This used to be family. This used to be a place I loved." Or if I work at Caterpillar, they would say, "My blood runs yellow." Or you'd work at Prudential and they say, "We all know that Mother Prue is what it was." So wherever we were, you work with United Airlines, you hear flight attendants talk about how this has been my life. And we could go into hundreds of companies. But as things changed, we also saw companies hiring something that had never been called a chief purpose officer. And we would Google it. And when Vicki and I Googled it and we looked at over 4 billion people had Googled the same word. And we thought, wondering what's next and what's happening and how are things changing? We put our heads together and thought, we come from 2 totally different worlds. And yet your background in your marketing and your media and the credit unions and all her veteran work and my work just seemed to be tongue and groove. And we put it together. And so what prompted it was the fact that we said, both of us said, we're not done yet. We have a lot more to offer and we have 2 totally different bodies of knowledge. Let's put them together and see what difference we can make.
Yeah. I feel that Joyce and I are like, even in terms of career, we are like 2 totally different people.
Yeah. This is frick and frack for real.
It really is. We've had so many laughs and so many, I mean, it's not only that we teamed up and to know how many people are searching the word purpose and searching for that meaning. And to know that with our combined experiences, if we can help the people who join us every Tuesday, just like you're doing, Wendy, you're doing such a great job bringing boomers together and bringing great topics together that are timely. And so Joyce and I thought, if we can, through the ability to do workshops, we're doing one on finding work and finding purpose, February 23rd, to be able to help individuals, look at the number of people who are unemployed now. And this workshop is designed to say, you know, I might not want to go back to the same type of work. I want to do something different, but I don't know what that different is. And I don't know what that different looks like. And so we put together a workshop. Joyce is working with an outplacement firm that's very connected to small businesses that have had to make the painful decision to have to let people go that are very much part of their family. And so we want to be able to do that with workshops to help them be able to say, help me find me and where I want to go next. And to be able to do our weekly Pause for Purpose, we're meeting the most amazing people who are just ordinary people doing extraordinary things in their lives as they've settled on what their purpose is. So if through them we can inspire someone else, then Joyce and I have accomplished what we want to accomplish. And it is so rewarding to hear from the people that are our regulars, that are our groupies, that are our hangers-on, that are oftentimes lonely and alone. And at this time, though, the need for that sense of belonging. I want to belong somewhere. I want to feel that I matter and that I'm making a difference. And so if Joyce and I, with our combined talents, can help those individuals, that's our desire and that's our goal with My Future Purpose.
And I think that's how we all ended up connecting, because one of my goals with Hey Boomer is to inspire people to feel their relevance, to feel their sense of purpose, to not be done yet. You know, there's still so much to do. And through stories like what you both are sharing with us of the journeys that you've been on and the experiences that you've had and what you're doing now, purpose seems to be ever more important, I think, as we get older and get out of regular careers, kids move on. So I know that you started this intending to go into organizations and COVID hit, so you had to pivot to more online. What is your vision for 2021 with My Future Purpose?
Joyce, why not you?
Okay. We actually have multiple irons in the fire that we're starting. But one is a series of programs. And Vicki mentioned the first one that we're offering that on February 23rd, which really is about what's next. And it is about career transition and how do you begin to figure that out. There's a second one that's going to be dealing just with that word purpose. And so what you end up with is whatever your own statement would be about what purpose is, as well as what's a plan to put that into action, and a vision board so that you can be looking at something every day to remind yourself of the road or the path that you're on. So the flagship programs are something that we do see as rolling out in 2021 and well beyond. We also have the Pause for Purpose that Wendy mentioned quite a while. 40 of them will be coming up in 2021. And we have, as Vicki just started to talk about, Zoom gatherings, because we think we will be in Zoom mode for at least the next several months. So we will have Zoom gatherings on a monthly basis, and they'll take two different forms. So one will be, it is a gathering place, a place for that place of belonging, that place where you have that special group of people that you just get to be with. And yet there will always be purposeful topics and a reason to be on. So it isn't just hanging out. And yet there also is that comfort of knowing that you get to know these folks and they become a second family, and they're part of your tribe. They're part of who you want to be part of and where you want to be on a monthly basis. Beyond that, we do have a series of quotes and articles that will simply show up. So, you know, articles that we see, that we're writing, that we're seeing other folks write, and people are sending us more and more. So as we sift through that and say, you know, where's the real, where are the nuggets in there that we want to share with folks, we'll be sending those out. And then along with that, we do offer one-on-one coaching, which is something that we both have been doing for quite a while. And along with that, we're offering to your groups, because you may have religious groups, be it church or synagogue or mosque groups that you are part of, communities that you already are in touch with, they may want to offer one of those programs. So we will be doing some type of alumni programs for higher ed. So you may have an alma mater, be it a high school, a college, that you want to say, I want them to experience about the purpose or the career or the engaging or rejuvenating my life in general. So we take one of those three flagship programs, we're turning them into retreats that you can do with family, friends, or reunion type programs that could be offered. And at some point, we would love to be able to do the, on a regional basis, go to some wonderful bucolic place where you live, and we have these retreats. And so someday post-COVID, which may be a couple years out, we would love to be able to offer those. So those are some of the plans that are in the works. So a lot of this, though, is very well researched because they're things that one or the other of us have been doing for decades. We're just updating it, upgrading everything, re-researching everything. So that's what we're doing with our COVID time and making these programs so they are relevant, they are spot on, future focused, and something because of the isolation that a lot of folks are feeling, a way that they can really build community and also feel that sense of purpose.
I'd just like to add that as Joyce is listing all of these things, effective January 1, we will become a membership organization. And all of the programs that Joyce mentioned as she went through them will become part of a joined membership. So let's say that we get out of COVID, which we want, everybody wants to do, and that you can actually have a gathering. We will be putting these retreats on in great places. But now that we still are confined, we're going to be doing these, offering these probably quarterly to be able to help draw in those who are drifting, who are maybe temporarily lost, maybe who are feeling that sense of isolation or, geez, I just don't know what I want to do. And I'd really like to just talk it through. And by us doing probing questions, we're pretty much able to say, well, you know, you mentioned this. Have you ever thought of doing that? Because you said you loved it when you were in college and you went off to work and your job description became something else than what you majored in. Maybe you should go and find what your what you love and reconnect with it. Maybe start by simply volunteering so that you can get a feel for it. So basically that's what we hope to do, or what we are starting to do starting January 1. In fact, we've got a meeting coming up tomorrow about how we're going to post this all on the website. So watch our website for updates and what's new and exciting in the My Future Purpose world.
I'm going to add one more thing to that. When we're talking about feeling lonely, I wouldn't want anyone to get a thought. We're talking about Lonely Hearts Club. I mean, we're talking about some of the folks who are reaching out to us, our CEOs of organizations, our directors, our CFOs, COOs, and yet they're saying, I just feel so alone up here, and meaning at the top of their organization. And it's that wondering, how is everybody else dealing with this? How do you guys all feel? And so it's knowing that we're all in this together. I mean, this is truly all of us in the same boat together, no matter what our position is or where we are, what stage of life. So this is beyond age, it's beyond position, it's beyond rank and title. It's really getting at the heart of who I am, what I enjoy. And it's like, are you jumping out of bed in the morning and saying, I can't wait to get there, as compared to, again, it goes back to something I mentioned earlier about I have to. And the I can't wait to, I want to, because it's so part of who I am now, and people are resonating with what it is that you're doing or you're saying, and then they want to be part of who you are and what you're all about.
Yeah. So with all of your passion and excitement about all of these things, let's start with you, Vicki. When do you feel most in the flow?
I feel most in the flow when I get so buried in what I'm doing, and this, as we're putting all of this together, because we're so passionate and we're so motivated about it, and people have motivated and inspired us. And so through that motivation, we're in the right place at the right time. And so I feel when actually we're working on a book featuring some of the Pause for Purpose speakers that have presented. And so just to get buried in that, and nothing else matters. I don't hear the phone ring. I don't hear the dogs bark. I don't hear anything. I am just totally in the moment, committed in that flow. I also get it. I went back to the gym. The 2 years that I've had camp, I always was a gym rat. And I just didn't go. I have so many so many things that I are after effects of having had cancer. And so I just didn't go to the gym. And I'm now back at the gym. And I've been back at the gym 3 months. And I, when I first started working out, I'd look at where I parked, I'd walk out the door and I'd look at where my car was parked. And I think, I wonder if I called Uber, if they think it was too short a ride to take me from my door to pour me in my car. And now when I walk out of that gym, I'm as a gym rat, I work out very, very hard. And now when I walk out, those endorphins, and I tell you, it just opens you up to feeling exhilarated, that sense of exhilaration that you get after a great workout. And another in the flow is being able to drive off the top of my hill down when there's a frost and to suddenly see all the white and to be aware of your surroundings and the beauty of your surroundings and what nature has given us. Those are my moments in the flow.
Yeah. Wonderful. And I'm going to do the frack part of her frick. I listened to her going to the gym. She took me to the gym once. I don't like the gym. So if anybody's sitting out there and saying, not my thing, I'm right with you. I'm trying, but we just each have to find what our thing is. If I can figure it out, and I think I've sort of come upon it on the TV screen, and maybe I can do it if I don't need to go drive to that gym. So that there's the other side if that's not quite your thing. But the other thing I would say for my flow, it's when I forget to do things like make dinner or go to bed. And I just am so into what I'm doing. And I look and think, God, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. And I'm so wired. And then I say, I know if I go to bed, I'm going to lie there. My eyes are wide. I got to finish the thought or create the drawing or do the something. So it's a variation of what Vicki said. It's loving what you're doing to a point where it's, I can't wait to do this.
Joyce is you can see a door off Joyce's right shoulder.
Yeah, there it is.
And that in that door are shelves of three ring binders of workshops that she has written and done, completed, that she did when she traveled all over the world conducting these for organizations and companies that were letting people go back in the day when there was probably a little more kindness and gentleness associated in corporate life. And Joyce went around and did those. So all of those programs she has in that back door are things that we are now reconfiguring to be able to offer to those who are searching their purpose. And here's an example of Joyce's work. This is our membership organization. That's how Joyce works. Little mice type constant notes. And we are, how else are we different? I grew up on a farm. I still get up at 5:30 in the morning. There are times when I see an email that came from Joyce. Here's the document. Check it out. What do you think? Shoot holes in it, whatever. And it came in at 4:30 as I'm ready to head out. So we
make a great 24-hour clock. I do the other.
Yeah, I noticed that about you too, Joyce. I'll get emails from you way into the wee hours of the morning. So
don't call me at 7 a.m.
Yeah. So I always like to ask my guests before we're finished, if there are one or two things that they would like to leave with the Hey Boomer audience. So what kind of things would you guys like to leave with us today?
I'll start with that. And then Vicki, you chime in. I would say several things. First of all, don't have any regrets. If you've got a thought of something you want to do, whether it's a person with whom you want to reconnect, a big idea you've got, it would be begin it now and then do whatever you can to make it, you know, use what's all around you, do whatever you can to further it and reach out to a network. People are only too willing to help if they know what it is you're looking for. And so be as succinct as you can in deciding what is it. Who am I? What am I all about? What would I like to do? Who's somebody I want to reconnect with? And don't have any regrets. Do it now. And the last thing I would say is, and I do this every night, you pull up the covers, you get into bed, and I always ask myself, how did I make a difference today? With one person in one project, and it doesn't have to be the big P. This is all the little P's we were talking about, the little purposes. Think back, what did I impact today? What did I do? And there's always a little smile on my face where I go to sleep. And all the years I was traveling, it would be when I sat in that airplane as it was waiting to take off. Who's the one life that was touched that day that really mattered? And I'd often get tears in my eyes and thinking, that's why I was here. It was to meet so-and-so, or it was to have that bit of exchange at the break or at lunch or for dinner. And inevitably, it would always be that spark to say, I can't wait to go out and do this again and again and again.
On our website at the top, there's a saying, and it says, it is in changing that we find purpose. Changing, changing. Look, Wendy, you went through this, as did Joyce and I. Can you believe the technology we're learning, forced to learn, that the younger kids just do at the snap of a finger, that we have to like have tutors come in and teach us, like, how do we even get on your website, on your live stream that we do? How do we do that?
It was a challenge.
For us, for Joyce and I, it was. But keep learning. Keep learning. Don't stop. And take classes when they're available. I'm amazed at young kids now that have graduated in with this COVID time. What they're doing is they're getting new certifications that will add to their credentials, that will make them a more valued employee. Well, no matter where you are, always add to your credentials. And that credential can be as small as I don't want to minimize it, but taking care of a grandchild or a child, helping with online learning now. So many of the kids are really struggling in online. If you have the skill to be able to sit with that that student, to be able to help make it easier, just keep learning, keep doing, keep volunteering, keep reaching out. You see something on TV, don't do as I did. Pick up the freaking phone, call the person, cold call them, leave a message on their machine. They may or may not call you back, but then again, they may, and you'll be surprised. And so take chances, take some risks. Just keep learning. And boy, I'll tell you, this whole world of technology that we live in, that is a challenge in itself, to keep learning and master it.
I'm going to add two quick things to that. If you're sitting there thinking, but where do I learn this? There is a wonderful free to everyone called Skill Up America. Whatever state you're in, it could be Skill Up, you know, Colorado, Skill Up Texas. It's Skill Up, put your state in, or Skill Up America. But don't get overwhelmed by it. It's hundreds and hundreds of free courses that you can take to get skilled up in something, whatever it may be. And the other thing is, because I tend to go back to the most elementary way to learn, I go on YouTube and I just say, how to. Yeah. And between Google and YouTube, it really gets me through a lot of things just to be able to understand what to do. So, and the other thing, Vicki mentioned something, I don't know if it's commercial ran, or actually it's been on a few news programs nationwide, because children are learning at home now with these hybrid at school and at home, and a lot of them are at home. Often the only desktop available is their kitchen table. And because that's where meals and cooking and everyone, sisters or siblings are doing homework, there's this cry nationwide, but if you have a skill in carpentry, build a little desk. Contact your school and find out who could use that. And it's just literally about a piece of wood on top and four legs. And you see these, your spouses nudging each other, say, you're good at that. You could do that. And nothing, I don't know how to start. Well, it's just call the local school and find out, could somebody use, and could I do this for someone? And the news thing that was on one of our show, recent news programs, showed just this young man who did it, and several of them were retired, didn't matter age-wise, but they were painting them all different colors and then making them available. And then you'd see these little interviews with the students who were thrilled to have this brand new desk that they could call their own.
So you guys have 100 of things that you could leave with our audience. So many great ideas. Thank you. And so much of it is about learning and asking where the help is needed, asking for help when you need it. So thank you. Thank you both. And it worked, having all three of us together. I think that worked. If anybody wants to get more information about what Joyce and Vicki are doing, you can go to their website at myfuturepurpose.com. Sign up for their Wednesday show, Thelma Reese. She's wonderful. She'll be a guest on our show at the end of January. And if you want to take a look at my website and what is going on there with the blog posts and that, it's heyboomer.biz. I wanted to close also by thanking our sponsor, my friend Kay Coughlin from Facilitator on Fire. And don't forget to sign up for the special series of encouraging emails for the month of January, designed particularly for caregivers to get through these dark, cold month. You would go to her website at facilitatoronfire.net. Let me show that real quickly. Facilitatoronfire.net. She's a very wonderful, caring person. If you saw her on my show, you might remember her. And I think it's just a real privilege to be able to get those emails from her. Next week and the following week, I am not having a show, but we are having the New Year's Eve celebration. So hopefully I will see many of you there for New Year's Eve. It's 8 to 9:30. Like I said, it's a wine tasting, a tasting menu, word of the year, noisemakers, glitter and bling, and so lots of fun. I always like to end with a quote from C.S. Lewis. And he says, "You are never too old to set another goal or dream a new dream." So keep dreaming, boomers, and keep living and keep inspiring us and each other. Thank you, Joyce and Vicki, so much for being on the show today. We've had some really wonderful comments. I hope you will have a chance to go back and look at them.
Thank you very much, Wendy.
Okay. It was our pleasure.
It was our pleasure.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. Thank you.